Hey everybody, Shane Pressley here, Rock Paper Podcast. I am super excited to welcome Freddie D'Angelo Studios to the show. They are now a proud sponsor, and if you don't know Freddie D'Angelo Studios, they are a full-service media production company based out of St. Louis and serving clients worldwide. Where if you can dream it, they can create it. Check out FDS all over your social media. You can get involved with them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Check out freddiedangelo.com for all your video and photo needs. If you haven't met Freddie yet, you've probably seen him around shows or seen some of his work online. He's just been doing some amazing things with his camera. So get involved. Check it all out. Again, freddiedangelo.com.
Podcast is kind of like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hi, I'm Preston and Shay from the Many Colored Death, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from Columbia, Missouri, hanging out with the Many Colored Death. Welcome to the show, everybody.
What's welcome. Up?
Hey.
Welcome
to Columbia.
Yeah, this is very exciting stuff, getting to hang out and talk about the band and everything else. This is our first time really getting to hang. Like, I've seen you guys live, and I guess it was the last time I saw you was the time I also won that signed drum head stuff.
That's right.
Yeah, the Blue Note. That was really cool.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Got,
I forgot all about that.
I did too, honestly.
Got that hanging on the wall at the house.
Nice.
Pretty exciting.
You should put a frame around it.
Yeah. But I was thinking about that. It was like May 2016 or something. It was you guys, Troy, and Shaman's Harvest.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
that one.
That's right.
Right on. Wait, was that the Shaman's, the benefit show?
Yeah, it was.
That was that one. Yeah. It was inside of the Blue Note. Okay, yeah.
That was a great party. And
yeah, oh my gosh, that was a great show.
It was a blast.
Yeah, those guys, Shaman's, I love those guys, and then Troy, too. Those guys just, they rule.
Just played with them last night.
Yeah, he nice.
Did. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Just as sweaty as ever.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't seen those guys in a bit. They've been busy all, you know, on the road and stuff, it's exciting to see them doing well. So and Shamans like blew up, man. Those guys,
they did.
Yep.
They're doing real well for themselves, so it's exciting to see too.
We're happy for them, definitely.
Yeah. I was thinking of that show too, like it might be the one and only time I've seen somebody shatter their guitar on stage opening a show.
That was the Flying V.
R.I.P.
It really
went flying.
Yeah,
it did.
And I remember like you handed a chunk to some kid that was like right in the front row there and stuff. And
that was that kid's first show ever.
Yeah, went home with a chunk of guitar.
I tried to get him up on the stage to play it, and it was like, nope, not getting up there.
He didn't want to show Brent up that night.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was that guitar had it coming.
Right.
I mean, it was
last leg.
It was temperamental. I didn't like it. I loved the way it looked. I loved the way it sounded. It just wasn't a very nice guitar. I kind of put it together as an experiment, and I learned a few things. And now going forward, I will change the design to be a little more durable.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yep. Learning from your mistakes.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's all about growth.
Yeah,
But this is fun. We got this. Like I said, first time really getting hang, and I kind of, well, I mean, I've been following you guys for quite a while now. I think we were actually talking about maybe doing one of these like a year ago, and I think there was like a nasty storm hit or something.
And that always happens.
So it's kind of been a long time in the making. We've been meaning to do this and get to hang out and talk and share some stories and stuff. So I'm so glad it worked out today. We're here and. So tell me a little more. I mean, I know the band's been at it for a while. You guys got a couple of records and things, but how did MCD come together? Can you guys share some of the?
Do you want to give the history?
You got the timeline.
You guys were there first.
So. All right, so it started back in 2009. It's like fall of 2009, which is when I moved here, and I was looking for a band, someone to play with, and I answered a Craigslist ad that was looking for a bassist. This is Brent, by the way. I play guitar. And I answered an ad that was looking for a bassist, and the tryout was that I didn't know anything about the people. They were just like, "Yeah, come on over." So I had a bass with me and an acoustic guitar, and when I showed up at this person's house, they were also trying out a drummer that night, and so. It was these two guys, Dan and Eric, had already gotten together. So the drummer had his stuff set up. He started playing. It was not happening. Like, he just could not play, really. He was brand new. His roommate played bass. He was excellent at bass. He was actually in La Movida.
Really?
I think.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Dang.
So he was the bassist in that band, which is kind of this salsa funk
merengue
band. Yeah, I mean, they were awesome, but he was like totally not interested. You know, they were like, "Oh my god, you're great," but he wasn't interested. I saw kind of like, all right, there's a drummer and a bassist. You know, I play guitar, but here's a bunch of songs I'd brought. You know, my iPod and just played them some tunes that I had written and recorded before, and they seemed to dig that stuff. So we decided, all right, the three of us will, you know, work something out. Now we need a drummer. While they put the ad out for the drummer on Craigslist, which Shay eventually answered, I found out that Eric had originally put an ad on Craigslist looking for a bassist because he was a bassist who wanted to play guitar and sing. Dan answered the ad. Dan was a bassist who wanted to play guitar. So they put out another ad for a bassist. I'm a guitarist and singer that answered that ad. And it just so happened that from a purely skilled standpoint, I was a much better guitar player than either one of them. the singing could be debatable. Anyway, so Shay answered the ad. She came out to my house where we were jamming, and I had a drum kit there. She ran through some stuff with us, and I was like, oh, she's awesome. Like, yeah, she's killing me. Nice. Yeah, I knew already, like, well, she's very talented, and this is awesome.
She's stunning.
Yeah, she's great. And so what we kind of decided to do was, like, you know, like, if Eric wrote a song, he'd play guitar and sing, and if I wrote a song, I'd play guitar and sing, and if Dan wrote a song, he would play guitar, but I would sing it, or someone else would sing it. And so we would kind of rotate instruments, things like that. It didn't take long at all for Eric, the original guy, to be kind of like, this isn't, like, really what I was looking for, because he ended up playing bass a lot of the time.
Right.
so he checked out. So we were a three-piece. And I would play bass on a couple of songs that Dan had written, but I would play guitar most of the time, and Shay would play drums. We played a couple of shows like that before Dan graduated. So she joined in December of 2009, and then Dan graduated from Mizzou in May of 2010. And so he works in films and stuff. He at the time, I think he was like a lighting
key grip,
that sort of stuff. Yeah. So he was always looking for jobs like where he could work.
Shout out to Dan.
Films and stuff. Yeah.
What's up, Dan?
Yeah, so he just wasn't always around. And so I was like, well, here's what I'll do. I'll find a bassist in the meantime. You know, and when you're in town, you can play guitar. And when you're not in town, we'll just be a three-piece again. So I was working at the Blue Guitar here in town. Preston came in looking for a bass.
Hey.
Or just wanted to try out a bass.
That's what I like to look for sometimes.
And so I hooked him up with an amp or something in the store, and he started playing, and immediately I'm like, man, God, he's like, he's just got an ear.
Didn't he play like Schism by Tool or something?
He played the intro to Schism, so he's playing the chords. Blah, blah, blah,
and
blah.
I wasn't ruining it.
Right, I've heard that played wrong so many times, and to hear someone actually play it exactly right, and like... Because it's just something you can hear. Like, sometimes you can tell when a person can or can't.
Four chords.
It is. Sometimes you can tell when someone doesn't hear the nuance in a chord, like what the actual notes are, and they're just kind of bar chording it.
Right. You know,
it's kind of one of my cover band pet peeves, when a band's just, like, ripping through stuff with bar chords, but then there's more complex chords there. They just didn't hear them, and it's not, so it sounds different. Anyways, he played it right. And then he was just jamming, and it was really good. I could tell he was smooth, he was a good player. So I asked him if he'd like to try out for the band, and he said sure. And he'd been there for about a year from Rolla.
It was
or 2 years.
When was that, 2010?
10.
Yeah.
A little less than a year,
okay.
I'd say. I got there like August of 2009, so.
Yeah, so before I got there. So he came over and tried out, and I think we had sent you a demo or something, and so there was a couple things you could
jam to. He sent me the MySpace link.
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
So I sat at home out. and I learned the songs at home on my computer without realizing that he was tuned like a whole half step down. So they were, and yeah, I
we
learned.
We recorded them in standard?
No, you guys recorded them.
Oh, you were learning them in standard.
I learned them in a standard tuning.
So he wasn't that great yet. Like, he had figured some things out.
I didn't know they were tuned so low. I just didn't. But I came to the practice and still, like, played the songs.
Yeah, you know, no, he did. Like, how are you?
Wrong positioning. Right, but I got it.
And it was the beginning of a long, sorted affair with Preston and tunings and getting
and
notes
showing
right.
Up to practice showing up. On
oh, my
time.
God. So he was great. It was going to work out. We were happy to play together. But, yeah, it was... Oh, that was... It took
bit.
A good year, I think, at least.
To get your head out of your ass.
For Preston to totally like commit to
the role. I had a lot of other things going on.
He did.
He did.
You're like, hey, we're practicing. It's like, oh, I'm in Rolla.
I had things to do.
I'm in Rolla. I'm like, dude. Like, every Sunday we have practice.
I wasn't 100% committed.
Also, I think it's important to know that, like, you guys were 20, 21?
Yeah. I was 19.
I was 20.
Yeah, I was 19.
Yeah.
I was not. I was much older. So to me, like, we got practice at this time. Dude, that's the time I got set aside. Because I got to, like, fix my house when I'm not doing this. Or I got to go, you know, I got to take a kid somewhere.
All right.
So anyways, yeah, so that kind of happened, and I wasn't long after that, I sent Dan a message, and I'm like, hey, man, I think we're just going to be a three-piece, you know, don't, you just do you, and we'll, because this is working out really well, and actually, me personally, I had always been in a two-guitar band, so even today, sometimes I'm like, man, it'd be cool to have another guitar player, right. You know, but then it's like, three schedules, man, that's enough to try to work around. Yeah, to add another person's schedule and all of their stuff to the mix, and we've got such a great rapport from being together for almost seven and a half years now.
Sample pedals are a lot cheaper these days.
Yeah, you could just plug in sample something and play it. Yeah, you
they don't need a cut stuff. At the end of the night after the show. So.
Yeah, we need one cut, like $250.
Yeah, one time cut.
So,
but yeah, so that's been, you know, that was 2010 May. I think we played your first show at the Blue Note.
Yeah.
Yeah, on like a New Music Friday or something.
Back when they used to have those. RIP New Music Fridays.
And that was kind of the beginning of it. We've just been, I mean, it was 2010 we put out the first EP.
Yeah, in November. November 2010.
November 2010 we put out the self-titled EP, and we still play Tomahawk every single show off of that first EP. Yeah.
That was the first song that we all like collectively worked together on as well.
And it was an old, like, it was two old demos, basically, that got, you know, pieced together from, you know, there was a thing I'd recorded a long time ago that was just instrumental, and then there was a thing we had jammed on that we kind of recorded a part of, and it was like, maybe I could just bring this old thing in, and we could, like, have it be, like, two songs, and then it totally became the whole thing, was to have this, you know, halftime sludgy thing go into this sort of full-time gallopy type thing,
right?
And at one point, like, the main riff was a lot faster.
Oh, it was, yeah.
It was like considerably faster than it is now.
So that's kind of the beginnings of things, and then we had that EP come out. Then we had the second EP came out.
2012.
No, that was 2012.
Yeah,
is that right?
Falling Farther From You. It was late 2012, December. Okay. Or November 2012.
So we went 2 years without putting anything out?
No, we put one out in
November 2010, and then we waited until
2011, then, I guess.
I think it was 2011.
We played the Ghost of Machine that year, because they had their... See, I don't know.
See, this is what happens. They have a debate on what year things came out.
It's all online. You can look it up. The dates are all there. But, so we had a second EP. And the second EP came out... I feel like, were we trying to work on a full album and we just got impatient and we just like, well, this is what we have. Let's just put it out.
It was like Centro Cellar.
It was half that stuff that we did with Will Reeves and then a couple that we did ourselves.
And it was like
It was Our Own Devices was the one where we were like, we started, I think, in the fall and finished. So
We started
in the fall on our own. And realized pretty quickly, like, this isn't going to sound the way we want it to sound, so let's go to a studio. And so we booked time at the mansion here in town. And so we finished that in... When we finished that?
I don't know.
August.
It was released
in August. So it was like a 10 or 11 month long trip.
It was a
like
very
started
long
working on it and worked through. Because we wrote so much... While we were recording that album, we were like, well, these three sound good, let's do three more. Well, those three sound good, let's do five more. Let's finish that.
We ended up with like 19 songs.
Yeah, we tracked 19 and we put 17 on it.
Yeah.
Wow. And I guess it was Duchess was the one where we put out an EP because we got impatient because we were planning to get Duchess out pretty quick.
We sent a single out.
We had already done, so Duchess is like half done here at Red Boots with Barry Hibden, and then half done or on our own. We had some of the stuff that I had already done ready, and we were trying to fill out the rest of the album, you know, and make it all sound consistent. And we're like, well, let's just... Because I think we even had, like, a show. Like, weren't we planning on a date?
A release date?
And a release date. And we're like, there's no way this is getting done. No. So we made it a single release. Yeah. And I think there were only ever 100 of them ever printed.
There's only 100 of those dummy singles.
And it has Dummy on it. and it has
a couple B-sides.
It's like demos and stuff. So it's done. The original demo for Charlie the Demon Slayer, which was on the second EP, right?
Yep, it had Left Behind.
Left Behind was a demo we did. A Song for You, which was a demo we did.
Is Deep on there?
I mean, basically, like, nobody listening probably even is going to have access to these songs. Nope.
Well,
like,
they're going to want access to it now.
Yeah, well, I guess we have to reprint 100 more.
No, I've been thinking about putting it online anyway.
I mean, you might as well.
Put it on iTunes and let people...
We are creating
a
buzz.
Crappy demos. Right?
Yeah, this is the buzz.
We're getting them all hyped for it.
Here's
it
how terrible we were 6 years ago.
We're going to put these B-sides on vinyl.
Was that January when we did that? It was early in the year.
September. I can't remember dates
we
on
put
anything
that one out?
We've ever
yeah.
done.
We put
September.
Out the dummy single.
Mm-hmm.
And then we didn't put out the album until a year later.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so the album came out in 2013.
It was the show that Jason Kelly came and filmed it. We set off the...
It was my birthday show.
Yeah that was your...
20... So,
that was the single release?
2014.
Okay, so 2014.
No, it's not.
It was 2014.
Why does... Okay.
We didn't put anything out in 2015.
Confused.
I don't think this matters
too much. Oh, I keep mixing it up. My son was born the night after our album release,
okay,
but it was our first album release, not the second album. I am. That's what I'm doing.
Everyone's
Sorry.
Getting shows mixed up. And now we've completely derailed from how did you all start as a band to when did we put out this EP that nobody's ever heard before?
It's organized chaos.
Mark Brewer has that EP, okay?
Well, I mean, I love Mark Brewer, and I'm proud of him for being at all the shows. Yeah. Shout out Mark Brewer.
Mark Brewer.
That dude
is
amazing.
So I guess it came out a year ago then, didn't it? Or a little over a year ago.
Yeah.
Duchess.
That just came out over a year ago.
Yeah.
A little over a year ago, yeah. It was September, sure. it was the same, almost the same day. It was September 1st.
2016.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Is that right? September 2nd?
September 2nd, 2016.
Yeah.
I would not know.
September 2nd, 2016. And then the other one was August 31st of 2013. That's what it was.
Yeah.
All right. That, long story long.
So, yes. And here we are.
Yeah.
That leads us to today.
We're here.
But Duchess is a great record, though. I was jamming it on the way up here on my drive from Wentzville. So,
well, thank you, Shane.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you guys probably got like maybe I guess a half a penny or something from Spotify
Indeed.
From listening to that.
I think it's 0.06.
As long as you were streaming it, yeah. It's 0.0006 cents, I think,
every
per stream or something like that. Yeah.
Well.
Thank you.
There's like 12.
Thank you for your generous contribution.
The best thing you can do is turn on our album and then just walk away and just let it go all day
you
and night.
You can even mute it if you want.
Yeah, you don't even have to listen to it.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I mean, like, Spotify hasn't been as bad, like, as far as consumer version. Like, you know, having, I have a family plan for, like, $15. But it's like my Sirius subscription, though, for my, you know, car radio, like, they keep bumping it up like every year for royalties and stuff.
Worst. Yeah. They harass you if you don't like it. Because I got a new car recently and like they keep sending me things in the mail after I've verbally told them, you know, like 5 times.
Come
and like, I don't want your services. I accidentally hit your button every time I'm in my car. I'm sorry. Right. I don't want it.
Talk about getting tough.
Talk about derailing.
Yeah. No.
Shout out to XM.
I hate Sirius XM.
Grievances, y'all. Grievances.
I got problems with them because they won't listen to me. Stop sending me stuff. So.
We missed therapy this week. Yeah. So this is...
this is...
Shane, you
sorry,
have
Shane. I'm really sorry.
But I'm just thinking, like, you know, they're always bumping up for royalties and stuff, but, like, you know, Spotify's still only, like, you know, keeping their rates pretty much the same, and it's like, as far as artists, you know, you guys are only getting, like, like I said, fractions of a penny to...
And it's for bands like us, I mean, it's like a necessary thing.
Right.
You can't really just
accessibility,
opt out.
Yeah.
Because then you just cut off, like, a whole bunch of people who that's kind of the only way they listen to music, so...
I think a lot of it, like, I mean, yeah, it stinks that you're not, like, really getting a lot of money or anything of, but if I think, you know, not that you're playing for exposure, but it's like Spotify is a huge tool to be able to like allow yourself to be heard by people all over the world.
Oh, yeah,
and
absolutely.
You know, it's like it's a great thing to just have it at your fingertips, right in your pocket, have anything you want there and stuff. Yeah. So,
I say as far as people who are upset that bands don't get enough money from Spotify. Balls in their court.
Yeah.
Go listen to our stuff on Spotify. Yeah. Make us more money from
there you
it.
Go.
Exactly.
That's up to you.
Go buy it.
I can only go to Best Buy and go to the satellites, you know, the internet enabled radios and turn up our music on their radios only so much.
Yeah.
They've kicked me out of Best Buy.
We got a Sam's Club in Wentzville. I like to go in there, put my podcast on, subscribe to my podcast on there on our iPhones and stuff. And,
absolutely.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's, I think, like, I feel like today, though, you know, as far as music and things, like, the live show is where it's at. Like, people are, you know, we're not really selling a lot of records anymore today. It's just not the business. Right. But it's, like, it's more getting people out to a live show, and that's where, you know, maybe come buy a CD there at the show and stuff.
Yeah,
and,
yeah. It's always the
and
hope.
That does happen. Yeah.
I like what it's you hear, awesome. Buy some music from us, you know.
Right.
Or at least come get a high five and a hug.
Yeah, there you go.
Free sticker.
Yep.
Free sticker, free whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
Forced stickers. Take this one for your kids, yeah. For your second car.
Right. I give them away. I tell people, I'm like, yeah, just slap it on a urinal or whatever. I don't care. Anything. Yeah. Anything works, man. People read it.
Last night I was like, if you get a tattoo on your neck, we'll get you 50% off a shirt. So no one bit.
Yeah. You know what, speaking of that though, like, it's crazy that there's somebody out there with a Rock Paper Podcast tattoo now.
I saw it. It was fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it blew my mind, man.
That's loyalty. Like,
my friend Jennifer, she's super supportive of St. Louis music scene, and she's got like Fivefold and Inimical Drive and a bunch of her favorites all on her, mm-hmm. like a half a sleeve. And she, for some silly reason, she decided that Rock River Podcast awesome. Logo would work well in there too.
That's
and,
awesome.
So I was You're like, just as much as part of the scene, though. Yeah.
That's true.
Well, the bands.
I was super flattered, man. It meant the world to me that to see that. And I was like, you know, choked up a little bit, and I was like, you know, that this show means that much to her that you know, wanted to put it on her skin forever. So, like,
yeah, awesome.
That's amazing.
Really shout cool. out to your friend.
Yeah. Thanks, Jennifer. But we mentioned Duchess, as it is available everywhere. You guys want to share some tunes from today?
It's on, like, Russian BitTorrent sites.
It is.
Yeah.
It actually is.
It really is.
If you don't, first time that's ever happened to us. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's like you've arrived.
That's a milestone that Facebook doesn't
when
let you
get
celebrate.
Your first bootleg, ooh, yeah. Just warms my heart.
Yeah, so I think we're going to, what do you want to do first? Satellite?
Yeah.
Satellite would be the first one we do.
Yeah. Anything you want to share around this tune?
It's an old song. Yeah. Used to be a different sounding song.
Yeah, we
actually played it recently at practice. We're like, can we still play that the way it used to go? Totally did.
The original song sounded nothing like what you're about
Same
to hear.
Lyrics, different. And even the melody's kind of close at times. The riff's in the general same area for part of it, but it's a completely different song.
Maybe we'll otherwise. Release that someday.
Yeah, we'll release that.
We've got a recording
there
of that.
There is a recording of that. Yep.
Yeah.
I like that kind of stuff, though. I talk about a lot how, like, I love, like, the evolution of a song, you know, the fact that, like, you know, some, a lot of these might start with an acoustic guitar or, you know, whatever it is, piano sometimes and different things, but, like, kind of starts with the basic structure, or sometimes you guys just go in and start riffing and, you know, noodling around or whatever, and then it comes together, but it's, like, it's just kind of cool to hear, like, you may have heard it this way, and then, like, it goes into the way you guys have been playing it live, and then it might even evolve as you take it to the studio and you just tweak it then and stuff, and then finally you settle with what you put on the record and stuff. But, like, it's just cool to hear those, you know, B-sides and different versions of these songs and stuff. So
That's one of the things that as a 90s kid, there was a lot of that out there then. Yeah, you don't hear it as much today. You don't, you know, a band puts out an album and it's, like, slick, and they, you never hear anything other than what just was on that album.
They want you to hear the perfection.
behind the scenes. And back then, it was like, I was a huge Pumpkins fan, so they were so prolific with B-sides and singles, and it was just like, we put everything they recorded on a single for something.
Yeah. You know? Japanese only B-side it was. I mean,
one of the coolest ones was the single for the song Zero. There's a thing at the end that's just called the Pistachio Medley. And it's just tons of little snippets of jams from practice that are weird and terrible and good and strange. And it's like, they're never going to be songs. Let's just put them out there so people can hear what we do at practice, you know, that kind of stuff. And I loved it. This is cool.
I don't know if that's, like,
it's an insight,
what they intended to do or not, but, like, that Chili Peppers Pretty Little Ditty, that's kind of what it reminds me of that. Like, I don't know if you...
Is it at the end of a... or
It's like three different songs, like three different... but what made it famous was Crazy Town Butterfly. Is that it's that,
they sampled it?
They sampled that whole thing is from Chili Peppers.
Huh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. I did not know
Never knew that.
Yeah, so it's like, it's just kind of crazy that it's an all instrumental song, Chili Peppers version, but it's like three different, you know, clearly like three different songs. I don't know if that was just kind of something that they put on the record just to get it out there or whatever, but I don't know the backstory on that, but I do know that. Crazy Town, that's how they made them famous, was that.
Wow.
So.
We opened up for them, was it last year?
Yeah.
And, okay, people want to talk smack about Crazy Town, but they put on, like, one of the best live shows I've ever seen.
And they owned the cheese.
It was hilarious. Like, I was just like, this is amazing.
Blown away. Like, they killed it, but it's like, you just knew who they were and what you've known growing up or whatever. You're like, that's Crazy Town, but they just completely...
Yeah.
Like, they kind of killed it. The place. Like, yeah, it was actually impressive.
You're watching it and you're like, okay, yeah, that's them. Like, they are owning this. And then off stage, you're like, yep, they're owning that too. Mm-hmm. That's who they are, man. There's no mistake.
They
were genuine.
They were.
It was refreshing.
It was them and Alien Ant Farm and
which were
Trap.
Also fantastic.
No, it was Tantric.
Tantric.
Trap was there too.
Yeah, it was.
Well, they were last.
Yeah, they were last.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah. And we played with Trap and Rolla too.
With Rolla again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
But yeah, it was an interesting.
What a
fun
journey it's been.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man.
They got our CD
somewhere in the trash.
Did they buy it?
Nah. Snorted something off of it.
They made a good coaster.
Yeah. Right.
The two of us.
One time in high school, like, you know, of course this is the time when you had the giant CD binder full of all my CDs, and I had a ton of these, like, mixed CDs that I just burned off Napster and stuff at the time and all that. And
can't anyway, say that they're listening.
Oh yeah,
the government is
I
listening
mean,
to this.
I legally cover your ears,
more.
Lars.
Right.
Yeah.
Is that still a thing?
Yeah.
He's still salty.
It's like 20 years ago. Come
on. I had all this, and I'm like, somebody swiped my binder, and at like a football game or something like that, whatever it was, and I had it in my bag, and somebody stole it, and I was, I don't know how, like, but in a weird, like, turn of events, like a week later, I'm like walking down the street in some other part of town, and like I saw a CD, and it said like Shane's Mix on it, and I'm like. So it made me laugh that somebody's like probably like listening to my CDs and just slinging them out the windows.
This is trash.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So, So if you ever happen to clean those up somewhere, there's the backstory on that. That's where all those CDs came from.
He's like Johnny Appleseed trying to find his way to a better mix.
Spread music everywhere.
Wow.
Yeah. You guys said it, the Duchess came out in what, 2016, I think, mm-hmm. we agreed on
September 2016.
Are we gearing up for a new record in 18?
Yes.
That is the plan. We've been working on tunes and already cutting some demos and just kind of getting some stuff worked out.
We just can't stop writing new music. That's the problem. We're always writing. We like never just put a pause on writing. It's always just like, which is a great problem to have, but it's also like, dang, when are we going to get an album done? Keep adding stuff to it, you know?
We're going to start combining two ideas again into one song.
Right. Like, well, this is cool and this is cool.
Yeah.
Let's just change the key of this one. Right. And then let's just put it out.
Figure it out.
Yeah.
Slap some lyrics on it.
I do think, I mean, obviously it is a good problem to have, like, but like it's like is, you know, and you always get most excited about the new stuff. So it's like you're always like, you maybe sometimes write a new song while in studio or something that, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, I want this one to go under now. And it's like, well, we already said on this, you know, whatever it is. And so it's like, so it's kind of the thing, you just kind of keep getting excited about the new stuff. And,
sure.
But yeah,
if you have to look at it like snapshots, like you have to, okay, that's the picture. That's where you were at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can continue forward from there.
Well, and this, whatever we come out with next will be the first time, like, almost all of it has never been played live. Mm-hmm. You know, we've always just kind of, like,
as soon as we write
stuff
it.
Live. We start taking it out live, playing it, and seeing how it feels and all that kind of stuff. And then it'll be on an album. But this will probably be mostly songs nobody's ever heard out live. So we played a couple here recently. Yeah. We just finally started, kind of bit the bullet, and like, we got to put some new stuff in. So we played a couple out now. But
test the waters.
And then we've got between 20 and 30
ideas
right now in various states of some totally done, some
need
too
some
good of a riff to not do, but haven't worked on it enough to
some need to be on the back burner to simmer a little bit.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Turn the heat down.
Right, it means it's like cooking. It's just going to take time.
You got to put it on that middle burner that's the warming. You stay warm, keep warm burner.
Got to make sure your oven's it doesn't run hot, you know.
Right.
Yeah. My buddy,
at altitude.
My buddy Matt Bosler has a band, Talk.
And
we play with Talk.
They're awesome.
A couple times.
Yeah, great guys. But Matt does this show, and he always interviews these bands and asks, you know, a lot of times I'll ask him about like if they could describe themselves as a food, as a recipe and stuff, like what ingredients and all this stuff like that. And it always makes me laugh, like, because, like, you know, speaking of, you know, food and things like this, I would.
Baton Creole.
Yeah,
seriously. It's our band.
Yeah. It just makes me crack up. He's super goofy. He's I don't know if you've keep up with any of his stuff. But he did he played Smooth from Rob Thomas and Santana.
Okay.
He put a show on at Off Broadway in St. Louis, and he played the show or played Smooth, the same song, 10 times in a row. And then he did a 2-song encore.
Smooth.
Yeah.
Smooth.
So, yeah.
That's amazing.
Did he play it the same every time?
And sold the show out and played the same song 12 times. And
did he let it be known that he was going to do this?
Yeah, that was the whole point of the show. Like, he built it as.
Is actually brilliant.
Yeah, it was pretty genius. And
it as Smooth Criminal, since he was basically taking everybody's money to play Smooth for the rest of the night.
It got a lot of attention, like online, like a lot of you know, like these blogs like wrote about it and stuff, and so it got picked up. Like, everybody was cracking
up. Awesome.
Like, it's such a dumb idea that was like super funny and worked, and like, but people loved it, and so.
The state of music today.
Right, yeah.
We'll sell out a show if you're going to play Smooth by Santana and Rob Thomas 12 times. Yeah,
it's so ironic.
It's a bunch of great local bands just ripping it on original stuff. I'll catch you some other time.
Well,
worth my $5.
He started tracks with, like, you know, he's like, all right, this one's an original. So anyway, he does a lot of silly things like that always make me laugh. But you guys played last night instead in Springfield. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing you guys gonna do quite a bit more touring in 2018, or
I feel we're gonna we may be a little selective this year.
Yeah.
We do want to focus on writing and recording and trying to get an album, if not, you know, possibly more things out perhaps. This year. Very goal oriented for newer things.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, we're open to making our shows more of an event rather than commonplace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like,
try to get out of town a little more.
Sure,
like, we're scaling back locally just because
we don't want to be a band that's
small,
like,
town.
You know, like, you know, Thursday night, go out with your friends and drink, featuring the house band,
right? Yeah.
The Many Colored Death playing all your favorite.
I mean, I would be fine with that if it was if it felt like it was like you were gaining something from it,
yeah.
Not just like, I mean, because you're taking a day out of your life, you know, and it takes a lot of work to get ready for something
like
that.
It's a
full
day, yeah.
But if it felt like there was. We were getting somewhere by doing that, because there is value in playing live.
Absolutely.
Always, you get mm-hmm. better. You become more of a unit. You sort of you gel, and that's I think that shows when we do play live. We get a lot of compliments about, like, man, you guys just, you're like, you're having fun.
Yeah,
you guys are really tight. You got, you know, and that's all just from doing it a bunch and also playing
fun.
Live and having
and, and genuinely liking
and
what we're doing.
Not
yeah,
hitting each
just,
other. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just when you again, it kind of goes back to the thing, like, do I want to add another member? Because it's like
yeah.
no one ever says, man, if you only had another guitar player in the band, or
man, we'd never heard
really
that
need some keys.
And it just challenges you to be like, how many things can you do with all four limbs?
Right.
So especially in your case.
I mean, it's the Rush thing. It's the
you really
thing,
need a baritone sax right in the middle of that.
Right.
I'm really missing right now.
It's ready to go. On a stand. Boom.
Yeah. But yeah, it's, I think there's something to...
Just blow it on the reed. Play it sax, man.
There's something to... It sort of our approach, I think, is still just kind of old school. You know, it's still just like people getting in a room, letting it rip, and then taking it to the stage.
You mean farting? Is that
getting in a room, hotboxing everybody in, and then taking it to the stage, and everyone
see what they think of it.
Y'all's fog machine was real good.
Just stank.
Well then. We had cheesesteaks prior to that.
I got pink eye at the MCD show. that's our next t-shirt coming out in 2018, guys.
Old text and poop. pink eye from the stink eye.
Yeah.
That's right. Anyways,
it's a Bill Nye spinoff. I don't watch.
I think our approach is still maybe even sometimes I feel like to our detriment is that we are kind of old school. Like, we're sort of refusing to do, I guess, some of the things that maybe might make you more
palatable or noticed
or acceptable. Not like even that. It's just, I think we just really rely on the music, the songs, and the show.
Right.
You know, and those are the things that we've kind of
That's
leaned on. Is like, this is who we are. This is what we do. It's the same thing with, and this is, I have no problem with anybody ever playing covers, because we do it sometimes, but we tend to just not play them because I have a fear of being the band that people know for playing that cool cover mm-hmm. of that one song. And I want them to know this is the band that plays those songs that are awesome that
sure.
they made up themselves. So when we do something like that, we try to make it special, or it's like an event where we are covering things tonight for this event, which is like our big Seattle show that we do, where we do a Soundgarden set.
Right.
Yeah, that's fun. That's getting out of your element.
Sure.
That's getting into someone else's brain for a while, doing that. And that makes us better, you know, again, as just a band where we're having to, because we're also the type of people who don't necessarily make something our own, you know, or try to just take something and make it heavy or whatever. We
can do that.
We've
done it.
But we try to usually, like, let's do it like the album. Like, that's hard.
If we can sound
like...
you
recreate
like,
what they're used to hearing,
right.
That's pretty cool, you know. If sometimes it is fun, though, to do something totally different. But, I don't even remember what the question was. But
anyway,
sure it had something to do with
this song's Satellite.
Yeah. 15 minutes later.
This song's called Satellite,
and that's how we got here.
Yeah. Guinness World Record for longest podcast.
Longest podcast intro for a song.
I need to leave. So
Well, Brent's gonna take off.
Yeah.
He's gonna go.
You got about 10 more minutes worth of podcast left.
Yeah.
All right. We got nothing else to say. Brent's already said it all.
Yeah, if you guys are still here in an hour, I'll be back.
Right.
And, I'll give you another hour's worth of material.
There you go. Maybe two.
Well, bye, Brent.
Bye. Have fun.
Thanks, buddy.
Tell Brent bye, everybody out there listening.
For whatever reason you do, like, need any more from me, just let me know. I can record you can, stuff and send it to you. So.
You can call us on the phone on the way there and
yeah, we'll just speak it. Yeah.
So anyway, I was saying, guys, like, you know, like,
yeah. You know, where we were.
Yeah. Bye.
See you, Brett.
Bye. I think we were talking about some touring and live show stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
And you do have a date coming up for folks towards the St. Louis area. You can come out March 17th.
St. Patty's Day.
Are we officially allowed to say?
I mean, we already said it, so...
Thanks, Shane. yeah, we're going to be playing Pops with hopefully a stacked St. Louis lineup, and we're pretty excited about it.
Because we haven't really played with, like... We played with...
Skyburn White.
And Inner Outlines. It's going to be, like, very much a, like, St. Louis heavy lineup, which is awesome, because we don't get out that way a whole lot. Sure. So
we love the St. Louis crowd. They've always been good to us, but as far as getting out there and playing shows, it's few and far between for us.
Yeah, unfortunately.
We did play Cicero's when it was around. That was fantastic.
Yeah, I miss Cicero's.
There was, like, what was that pizza place? Lemons?
Lemons is gone, too.
Yeah, it's been gone.
There's a lot. That's the thing I got there. Like, we do have a lot of venues that have closed up, but we've had a lot of newer ones open in their place. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I mean, there's good things going on in St. Louis right now. There's a lot of really great music happening out there, and for the city, they just put out a great record, and then like the next week they're opening for Story of the Year.
That's awesome!
Fantastic.
Yeah.
That's
cool. So that's a big opportunity for them, and that's going to be a fun one. But yeah, that's going to be a fun night for sure, man.
We're definitely super excited to play Pops. It's like, you know, like some like small dreams for us. Like, I've seen so many bands at Pops, and, you know, I probably can speak for Shay. It's like a bigger...
It's a big deal,
It's a bigger deal for us.
That's,
you know,
like, honestly, one of my bucket list items is to play Pops in the pageant. So next step, hopefully the pageant someday.
There you go.
But yeah, so yeah, I'm very excited.
It is pretty neat to walk into Pops and, like, look around the posters they have on the wall still, and, like, you know, you see, you know, all these Megadeth and, you know, whatever. I mean, like, every one of these, like, huge bands that played there and stuff, and, like, you know, list goes on.
A lot of,
like,
history there.
Yeah, definitely.
A lot of fights and
isn't there a strip club next door? Sure.
There is.
Yeah.
Two of them.
We may have to have
I did not know.
So some people go, like, let's just go to the better one.
Yeah.
Right. Go to the better strip club.
Like, you have Walmart and Target. Which one are you going to go to? Yeah. So.
One's a little more pricey, but the quality is good.
Exactly, yeah.
One's more big box, you know, catch my drift. I just didn't realize the pun was, like, hard on that one. I didn't even mean to make that pun.
I love accidental puns.
Wow. That's a rough one. Good God.
Well, you can keep up with the Many Colored Death on your Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, and find out more show dates. Like I said, you guys mentioned you might be doing that... Seattle Royale again.
That's still pretty much confirmed, though.
Yeah.
They'll be announcing that soon.
Yeah,
so.
Which is always
it's always a blast. Yeah. You know, meet up with good friends and fantastic bands.
Well, and for those of you all listening who don't know, so we do a whole set of Soundgarden. Decadent Nation does a whole set of Pearl Jam. The Hypnecks do a whole set of Alice in Chains. And then last year, for the first time, we had Medora with Downside Up, kind of a nice little combo thing, doing Nirvana, which was
so awesome. They killed it.
Like, murdered it.
They started the show. I have no idea why they started the show.
Yeah,
I think
they
should have
been last, honestly.
I think we just drew straws, honestly. Yeah. But they killed it.
Yeah.
If they were Scottish, they would have killed it.
Right.
Wow.
So that's a standby.
That was great. Good job. Proud of you.
I think, as somebody, like, sort of an outsider to the Columbia music scene, and I see that kind of stuff. I mean, all these are a bunch of my friends of mine and stuff, but, like, as far as, like, seeing that and watching you all work together and putting those shows together like that, and, like, I just think that's such a cool idea, and, like, it's really neat to see that the community that you've built among yourselves, and, like, with, you know, being able to collaborate like that and stuff, and
definitely, you know, so. Yeah, it's been fun to really, like, get to know those people, because we've done it, like, the last, like, this will be our fourth year doing it.
Well, no.
Am I way off?
It's
our third year.
Yeah,
probably.
It's not even our third year. I think it's our second year.
Oh, I guess we've played a lot of those shows.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, getting to know those people through this process, because they're doing the same thing, like Brent said earlier. You know, getting inside the artist's heads essentially and learning that is a kind of a brain bender for me personally, but But no, it's been nice to like get to hang out with them because we normally don't all play the same shows together. So mm-hmm. it's a nice one-off type thing for the year, and get to see
busy
those people and
doing their own thing.
Yeah,
like so we don't really play shows with the Hypnics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so it's definitely a fascinating experience to you know watch them kind of get out of their. I guess out of their comfort zone as far as it's not the style they would typically play live, but they like everyone does a fantastic job.
Sure,
it's a show and it kind of like brings some awareness and maybe like possibly like different crowds to kind of watch the other bands play as well. You know, our crowds may not necessarily watch a band like the Hypnics play on any other night, mm-hmm. but to come out and see, you know,
yeah,
everyone play something that you know is like a fantastic style of music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 You know, everyone can get behind some grunge once in a while.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Everyone's
yeah.
got a plaid shirt in their closet.
Right. Yeah. I am wearing mine right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I see it. Nice.
Got a few in the laundry need, right now.
I just need to tie it around my waist. So.
Yes, there you go. Boom.
So we did, I did put your picture up here on Facebook and I invited friends and fans to submit some questions and we got a couple of some pretty good ones.
It's a fantastic picture, by the way.
Yeah.
Those are some like bikes you can rent
in San Antonio.
It was not San Antonio.
Yeah.
It wasn't San Antonio. It was the Dallas Fort Worth area. It was Fort Worth.
In Texas, they have a lot of bikes you can rent.
We'll yeah.
Just,
yeah.
We'll leave it at that.
It's in Texas. It's
somewhere
it's,
in
it's
Texas.
Probably like San Antonio or Houston or El Paso.
Metropolitan area. El Paso, wanna, Texas.
Really western Texas. Like just desert where you can ride these bikes and, until you die in the desert.
And then you know. Your loved ones have to pay the debt that you owe for renting them for so long.
Well, I thought it was pretty great. I thought it captured your guys' personalities pretty well.
More importantly, like Brent bent way too far back, and I couldn't do the third like fan.
All right.
It was totally unfair. Looking at it now, like Shay was fine. Brent went way too far back. I couldn't have bent off that bike back behind Brent at an even.
Yeah.
You know, laying flat.
I would have been falling off that bike. So,
well, you, so we've got some questions, and Andrew Range writes in and he says, when are they coming back to St. Louis to play? And I think we discussed that yep. the March 17th at Pops.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. More but, details to come.
Yeah. And, but he also wanted to say that, the Many Colored Death changed my life and I am forever grateful to have shared a couple of stages with them. I'll never forget the first conversation I had with Brent about his badass arsenal of guitars. Tell him I said hello.
Well,
thanks, Andrew. That really like means a lot. Like to be serious for a second, like I like never imagined ever that somebody would say something like that about something that I have a little bit of a part in. So thank you, Andrew, for saying that. It's very, very nice of you.
Yeah, and I'm sure he never forgot that conversation about his pedals either, just to let you know.
Brent doesn't let anybody forget it, so he'll tell you, he'll sit you there for 45 minutes and give you the whole history of each pedal, and, you know.
Right.
So
he's not here to defend himself, so.
Yeah, so we're just going to match you.
Here we go. That's pretty funny.
We can do like you know the DVD commentary. You know, have Brent like listen to us and then
and
like,
then have a rebuttal.
Right.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. Shout out to Brent.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, Matt, like you're saying, that's got to feel pretty cool. Like,
yeah.
I mean,
that means it shows a validation kind of for what you're doing. It's like fuel to the fire, you know.
Especially your peers. I mean, like, we've mentioned earlier about the you know, Brent giving that kid a piece of the guitar and stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, stuff like that, just like, you know, knowing that you can have an impact on the, you know, the future of these young kids, like, you know, make, hey, you know, I saw Many Colored Death for my first concert and like maybe want to play guitar or whatever it is, you
yeah.
know, something like that. It's like, that's just a cool thing to think about and like that you could have that kind of influence on people. So definitely. Jason Kelly writes in also, using three words or less, how would they describe their sound?
Jason,
first off,
why?
Hey, Jason. Shout out to Jason.
Jason, I love you, but why did you ask us this hard of a question?
He's a close friend.
Yeah.
He's like
yeah.
family. So shout out to Jason.
Yes, we love Jason.
Slinging them cakes down in southern Missouri.
Shout out Little Debbie.
Little
What's
Debs.
Up?
Hey, hey, little dibs.
Yeah.
What three words will
three
we
words
use?
Or less? I like it. Three words or less. Yeah. Thanks.
Sweaty would be one word that I would.
Sweaty, thick. What?
Fill in the blank.
You fill in the blank.
No, I'm not filling in that blank. Hell no.
Jason, you come up with the last one. It's sweaty, thick. And then it's your choice. Yeah. So
you can fill anybody can fill in the blank on that one if you really
want. Or just
want
those
to.
Two words. Sweaty and thick.
But sweaty would be like number one because we're very sweaty people in
hot.
General.
Yeah.
So
sweating right now.
Yeah.
Oh man.
I mean, pretty much. So
it's like 21 degrees outside. I'm just like
I will still sweat. We'll still sweat. So yeah.
No, I don't know. That's a good one. But you just come up with that last one.
Yeah.
Or the viewers. It's not viewers.
The viewers
listening.
At home.
The listeners at home. You guys. You're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Wow. Okay.
Sweaty thick what?
Sweaty thick podcast.
I don't know. Sweaty thick podcast. Is that your next venture, Shane?
I'm gonna make that my ringtone. When I isolate this audio.
Sweaty thick podcast.
Sweaty thick podcast.
Bing.
I'm Preston the Rod Rogers. This is the Sweaty Thick Podcast.
And we're back.
And we're back.
John Gooch writes in, does Brent need to buy special pants to fit his calves in them? Do you guys know much about Brent's calves?
We know about his pants. We know a lot about his pants history.
He wears Levi's, doesn't he?
He does. Brent has not always been a skinny jean wearer, but like 3 or 4 years ago, he started wearing them. So basically, Brent... Okay, like, Brent runs or whatever. So, this is not the first comment that we've gotten about
his
Brent's calves. Our friend Jesse Hines, what's up?
Hey, Jess, shout out to Jesse.
Jesse loves Brent's calves and his biceps, so I'm just throwing all your shit out there, Jesse, so I'm just let you know that right now. But no, like, he does get his pants kind of, like, altered, but not calf-wise.
I think when he rips out the crotch.
So he does like practically like does a split on the stage like every time we play and
go
so when he
go
rips
peep
a,
the pictures, yeah. He's
yeah. When he rips deep. A hole in the crotch area, the crotchal area, he does take it to like I think some like Russian lady that does alterations and she sews it right up and
puts a patch in.
He doesn't really have to buy new pants a lot. So he's making them work. He's nice. Making the Levi's work for him. So that's all you can do with pants, I guess, is make them work for you. So if that answers your question, John, you're welcome.
Yeah. Hey, you know, you got do what you got
to
do.
I mean, that saves a lot of money. I mean, you have to pay for the alterations, but you don't have to buy new pants every time. Right. So it works out in the long run.
Shout out to Levi's.
Maybe yeah.
Shout out to Levi's.
Maybe they'll sponsor the show.
Sponsor us.
Please give me pants.
I want real pants.
Let's see. Brian also writes in... what are your feelings towards big sweaty man hugs from other bands? Asking for a friend.
Oh, yeah, we're for it.
Yeah.
We're for it.
Sweaty hugs in general are amazing.
Get in there and, like, make me sweat with you, buddy. Yeah. You know?
Make the front of my shirt drenched.
Yes.
The back is drenched as well.
In the back where your arms were touching. It needs to be like a trance.
I need to be able to see where your arms were
right.
after yeah. the hug. That's what I want to see.
Yeah.
If that rules,
yeah.
Yeah, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Good question.
Yeah, there's I mean, that's usually where it goes when you open up the internet to your friends it usually winds up being sweaty man hugs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So and how you feel about them, you know?
You feel great about it.
It's good. Keep it up. Keep up the good work. Shout out to Brian.
I think we got
30 shout outs.
Let's see. And Brandon writes in, how do you expect to rocket to meteoric stardom if you melt the faces of all the people who come to see you?
We have fans that are also plastic surgeons.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's they cool. can I assume. I mean
yeah, that's the only reason people keep showing up is there's cosmetic surgeons out there. They make it happen and
they make
they show
appointments.
Up
you know, you got to keep people in business.
Yeah, dude. And also there's like how many people on this earth? Like 8 billion. So
yeah,
we can keep just cycling through right. people until they're all gone. Yeah.
Some
the
of them can
left.
Be a little less attractive for a while.
You've had your time.
You've had your time being pretty. Go to a concert. Get knocked down a couple pegs. I don't know. I don't know.
Is that, that's the next shirt then?
That's the next shirt, yeah.
Get knocked down a couple pegs.
After the pink eye with MCD.
Then. Yeah. Oh, come get pink eye and then come ruin your whole face. Just ruin it.
All right.
Anybody who wants to design that shirt, have at. Yeah. Let us know. Hey, that'd be amazing.
We're spitting out some gold here. I mean,
cash in
on some of this. This is some.
I'm really glad this is being recorded because we can refer back to this. Right. We need to do new T-shirts for the new album. So. Yeah.
This is like a loose copyright, also, because it's got a timestamp. Right. So, just so they can't steal the ideas from us, they gotta give us some royalties.
Exactly. All right.
Awesome.
I think that was all of them.
Cool.
Was there anything else we missed?
I don't think so.
All right.
You can snip that in there somewhere. I'm sure you could.
Yeah.
We'll find a place to fit it. I mean, between, you know, all the pauses that Brent took, you know.
Half second.
Time for questions. And Brent's not here. Now he's back.
But yeah, this has been awesome. Getting to hang, getting to share some of the stories and things. And hopefully we'll get that new record ready and do this again.
It's the year's young, so we got a lot of ways to go, excited about it. So.
There's a lot of promise in these next songs, these next coming months. We're going to do a lot of hard work.
Yeah, taking a different approach to the way that we're writing, and we're collaborating a little bit more, so it'll be interesting to see where it takes us.
Sure,
so.
Well, like I said, I love Dutch, so I'm excited to see how that translates into the next record and stuff, how you guys continue to go to evolve and things, and so it'll be fun. I'm excited to hear it, so hopefully we'll have that soon. Cool. But yeah, thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you, Shane.
I will I'll see you all real soon.
All right,
thanks everybody. All
right. Thank you.
Peace out.
Hey everybody, this is Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast. I want to tell you about my friends over at Music Record Shop. Find them right here in St. Louis, Missouri, in the Grand Center area, in the Dot Zach building. Go over, check it out, come by and visit them. You can go by or visit online, shop 24/7 at musicrecordshop.com. Be sure to follow along with Music Record Shop on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. They're giving away tickets and records and all kinds of fun stuff along the throughout the day. So get involved, shop local, support local business. They got a lot of cool stuff going on. So you can also reach out if you have a local band you want to get your records on the shelf over there. Reach out and see how you can make that happen. Again, musicrecordshop.com.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.